and Tis the Law has the lead at the top of the stretch. It is Tis the Law in front with 3/16 to the finish. Tis the Law has a four-length lead. He's left the others behind.
Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Racing Across America is brought to you by Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922, 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group, Leah Cars for Life. Find them on the web at leahcars.com. The new Capital OTB wagering platform. Bet any place, anytime with the new Capital OTB wagering platform. CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier wagering site in New York State. And the Clubhouse Racebook. Can't make it to the track? Make it to the Clubhouse Racebook. 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Good morning and welcome to Saratoga, live from Saratoga. It's day one Racing Across America. I'm Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us. We wait for it all year long. I have heard it described over the past couple of days, New Year's Eve yesterday or Christmas Eve. I'll go with both of them because it is a celebration today as they return to Saratoga. It's, you know, the capital Saratoga area's professional sports, and we have it for the next 40 days of racing going right through Labor Day. It's going to be a lot of fun, certainly. And I, from just walking around town the past couple of months, people recognize me from sitting in here, and I've gotten a lot of, you ready? And as ready as I can be, I think we all are. So here we are. It's day one. Today's show kicking things off. A little bit later on, Dave Grenig from the Daily Racing Forum will get some of his overview of the meet coming up. Kevin Cox, he's going to be one of our, with Steve Bick, he'll be one of our Play of the Day folks on the Handicapper Support all season long, but we'll get him to give some opinions for this afternoon. John Signor, the Capital OTB president, will visit us a little bit later on as well. But we're going to kick things off. One of our favorite guests, and amongst the team that are our favorites, the Saratoga Special Team, Sean Clancy, Joe Clancy, and joining us this morning, Tom Law. Tom, good morning.
Good morning. Happy opening day. It's and, great to be here.
Happy to have you here, and happy to have you guys plugged in again throughout the meet. Always like to talk to the special guys, and we're going to probably plug you guys in on Wednesdays. So that'll be jump days.
Awesome.
Always like to get some thoughts on the jump races from you. I like the jump races. Some people are a little bit reluctant. Everybody says like to watch them. It's fun. And some people won't. Some of the public handicappers won't any. Step up to the plate.
Yeah. Step up. I love it. I mean, yeah. I used to be terrible at picking them, and I don't know if I'm much better now, but, you know, I've learned a lot with Sean and Joe over the last, you know, 10-plus years. But it's great. It's part of tradition of Saratoga. I mean, it really, truly is. I mean, it's American Racing's original sort of second career for flat horses. You know, you hear a lot of people talk about thoroughbred races. Well, these are thoroughbred horses. They're not Arabians or mules or donkeys. I mean, they're racehorses, and it's... It can be exciting. They have a lot of really good races in the steeplechase set here, you know, grade one races and some really good novice stakes. So I think it's a pretty good lineup of jumpers that should be here this summer at Saratoga.
Yeah, so again, we'll get you guys, three of you guys will rotate in on Wednesday, so we'll get some thoughts on the jump races. But also, we talked plenty of the flat racing as well, and that's because you guys put together the Saratoga Special, and that's one of the reasons I wanted you in on opening day as well. Saratoga Special is also a Saratoga tradition, and I think people look forward to that because how often do you, you know, particularly that the media, the New York Times just did away with their sports department in total, much less horse racing. But horse racing has disappeared from print over the past decade, certainly. But come up to Saratoga, and you can pick up the Saratoga Special. Talk a little bit about the game plan this season and where people can find it.
Well, we're
town.
Still printing,
I love
it. Great, right? Yeah. Our 23rd season this year, so it's great that the numbers match up with the years. So Sean and Joe were smart enough back in 2001 to start it in 2001, so we could say that. You know, it's great to be back. We got 20 issues planned for 2023. I've already done one. Feels good to have that first one kind of in the books. Last night was a little hairy, Joe and I in the office, but we managed. You can download it at thisishorseracing.com. You can sign up on there for a daily email blast where you'll get a notification kind of in the middle of the night that says the paper's ready. Bam, you can get on there. Or we have a Reader's Club, which you sign up for. It's $40, and you get kind of member perks. We're planning on hopefully having a party. We had one a couple years ago. We're going to hopefully do that again. And then we've sort of added some other sponsors. Savory Pantry is one where you get a discount. As being a Reader's Club member, you get a discount for shopping there. And we're working on a few others that we're going to hopefully roll out as the meet goes on. And you'll get an earlier email blast if you're a Reader's Club member. So if you're savvy, too, you can just get on our site in the middle of the night, and you get on there, and you might see the papers already up there. So I was kind of tweaking it last night. I was, like, holding my social media. I was looking at the clock. It was 11:57, 58, and Joe was like, what are you doing? I said, I'm waiting until midnight because then I could say opening day. So we did that last night, and, you know, we had our team was out. We deliver the paper all over town here in Saratoga, you know, Price Choppers and Hannaford, Stewart's, downtown coffee shops, restaurants, hotels, and the like. I think there's probably like 75 drop locations that we do it. And then all over the track, backstretch for the horsemen and at the track kitchens. And then grandstand clubhouse as well. We've got racks kind of spaced throughout the facility. There's some by the betting windows, kind of the main betting window area. Clubhouse, there's one in the grandstand by the escalators. Snag you a paper. So we got a nice 32-pager to start things off. So it's a little smaller than maybe it usually is, but it's opening day. We didn't have any racing coverage.
Yeah.
A lot of previews and the stable tour is back, sponsored by Fasig Tipton, which is great. We got the neighborhood kitchen and some other sponsors helping out with the handicapping page this year. So a little bit of everything in the paper. And we got an editorial. We got a team, Sean and Joe Clancy and myself. We got interns. We got Terry Hill coming back, the self-proclaimed world's oldest intern.
Dresses very nicely.
Yeah, we have a high school student from Shenandoah who might be the world's youngest intern. So we have the oldest and the youngest, at least in racing. So we're excited
and
about that.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned the interns, so I'll tee it up for you because Saratoga Special Interns has become a notable entree to the industry. Talk about some of the graduates from the Saratoga Special Intern program.
Amazing.
It's incredible.
Just in I started my first year with these guys was 2013, and during that time we had Gabby Gaudet working for us, Shayna Tiller, Anise Montpleasure, Madison Scott, who works for Ellen J. Foxwoods, and then prior to me they had Travis Stone, who's of course the track announcer at Churchill Downs. John Panagot, who's a well-known bloodstock agent and jockey's agent. Quint Kestenick, who works sideline reporting for ESPN, done a lot of college football. So it's a great, you know, opportunity for people that have an interest in racing, but also have an interest maybe in media, sometimes in racing and media, which is great. You know, you and I are racing media. We're kind of it's a very much a niche, but, you know, there's still opportunities out there. And, you know, I think we have a young woman, Mary Rufo, that's working for us this year, has kind of a full-time job, but maybe is looking at maybe exploring a different career option, and she's kind of helping us out on a part-time basis, but little does she know it's part-time basis. We don't do that. You're going full in. So she's already hit the ground running last night and today, so. Yeah, we're excited.
Yeah, I had Mary on the show last year. She was doing a podcast at that
time. Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah, sharp
and
girl.
And Anise we've had
woman,
on plenty of times, who, speaking of youthful, she was involved in the game. And I want to say a small track in South, as like a racing secretary at about 18.
She did a little bit of everything. North Dakota Horse Park. She's from a little town in Minnesota just outside of Fargo. So that became like her nickname with us. Everybody called her Fargo. It's funny, people from like Fasig Tipton and Keeneland, they call her Fargo now too. And now she's gone on to kind of help with this co-launch, this Amplify racing program. Mm-hmm. They're teaching people about racing and a big education platform. Works for the Kentucky Equine Education Project as well down in Lexington and has done a great job. You know, like I remember when I hired her, she had done an internship at the American Quarter Horse Association. I was like, Sean and Joe, I got this young woman. She's from North Dakota. And they were like, North Dakota? You know, which, I mean, you come from all over, right?
Yeah.
So, and she made her mark. I mean, just a star for us for 2 years, and it's a long time ago. A long time ago now. I was thinking about it back when America Ferrell was running.
But you look at what she's done, and it's like, man, oh man. Gee. Yeah. But yeah, Travis Stone. I remember Travis. Yeah. You guys. It may have been even before your time with The Office down on Broadway, and Travis was doing at that time. Yeah. It wasn't even a thing. I mean, now we call him podcasts, but he was doing like an internet radio show out of a closet down there. I remember because I used to come on fairly regularly. Okay. So Travis in those days and
practicing his race calls, like he'd go up on the roof and do his own race calls, and then he would listen to them. I've heard the stories, both from him and from Sean and Joe. You know, we got some great intern stories over the years, and we were telling some last night in the office. So it's good.
The office now still across the street?
We are. We're over at on East Avenue. There's two paper boxes right out front, actually. One on one side of East Ave, one on the other. You can grab the paper there. We're right next to Fasig Tipton, so and super convenient location for us.
I'm thinking, as opposed to downtown, which was nice, a nice location, but to be across the street from, because for folks, they'll see you guys all that. You, Sean, and Joe aren't too often up in the press box. You guys are running around most of the day. I'm assuming track going back and forth to the office. The interns will show up in the press box, certainly, and they're down there getting notes and quotes from folks, and you guys are too, following trainers out of the winner's circle. Yeah. I got to get that quote because we got the deadline, and I was about to say, if people drive by the office, I'm assuming it's likely the lights will still be on quite late.
Sometimes. Yeah. Unfortunately, you know, it's a home away from home. The interns, I tell everybody the same thing. We cover every single race at Saratoga. We don't necessarily write about it, but we're there. We have at least we have somebody there, kind of covering it. Because as you know, anything can happen at Saratoga, and it will. Yeah. You know, I mean, amazing stuff happens all the time. So we're there, and kind of our office is like a de facto press box for us. You know, like we're working during the day. We're always working ahead. We're always working on the next edition. It seems like whether we're selling ads or kind of helping with marketing or doing the editorial, and then we can just run over. It's such a easy location. Yeah. Cut right through. I usually kind of get there, try to get there when the horses are walking in for the feature. I can stand right there by where the artist set up and watch them, follow them right in the paddock, go on out and do that. So, you know, we spend a ton of time out here at the track in the mornings, but again in the afternoons as well. So,
and you've kind of alluded to it already, but give us the rundown for folks who are familiar and look forward to the Saratoga Special and who doesn't. As I say, it's one of the things that really does make the track very special. I always say, what's special about this track goes beyond the fence we have. Or it's downtown with people at the restaurant, the table next to you, talking about the double they hit today or the horse they have heard about tomorrow or whatnot. And the Saratoga Special is part of that. To get a newspaper that covers horse racing is fabulous. And, again, for folks who are a little bit familiar with it over the years, still expect the same kind of thing, you know, the regular columns from you and Sean and Joe and the quotes, which are always a lot of fun. And it's everything pretty much the same this year.
It is.
And the stable tour, which you mentioned before.
Yeah,
that's great. I think you
sponsor.
Guys came up with that idea. Now I think some people have latched on to that. Yeah. You're the first one I remember.
We kind of did sort of, you know, borrow the idea from over in Europe.
Okay.
Where they'll go, some of the racing papers over there, and they'll dedicate pages to it. They'll go out to a trainer's yard and maybe spend a day or two over there and talk about the horses, and maybe even more detailed than we do. But we sort of stole that idea from them.
And it's a great idea.
Yeah. I will say it's often duplicated maybe, but it's very labor intensive. And our team, kind of our approach, like you, would do our homework ahead of time. So a lot of it's done even before I go do it. I did the first one with Todd Pletcher today. He's kind of become the leadoff. He's in the leadoff role every year, I told him. We're not messing with tradition. You're in the leadoff role. You won the Eclipse Award last year, $30 million in purses. You're going first, you know? So, and he's great. Carve out the time. He'll tell me, come by at, you know, at 3 o'clock on Tuesday. Go in there. I got my list ready, and we'll just rip through the horses and talk about them. Go look at them in the shed row. It's amazing. I mean, he's just got a barn. I told him this year, I was like, you know, you got like a lot of really good horses, which is like Captain Obvious, right? I was just like, you know, give him something like anybody could say that. But I was like, you know, I was going through them and I was just like, stakes winner, classic horse, champion, you know, it's great. So
Did you get a chance to write about maybe some of the two-year-olds that are coming up and give us a little insight?
Yeah, and he's always really, you know, he's shrewd, you know, not going to, like, unveil, like, all the really good ones. But I looked him up. I followed some workers, and I had a pretty interesting take on a few of them. He mentioned a horse named Pirate that they really like. He's a half-brother to National Treasure.
Okay.
That they have, that they're getting ready to run. He's got a sibling to Malathat and Julia Shining by Medaglia d'Oro, another filly that they really like a lot too. She's mentioned in that first piece, and you can kind of tell.
Did you get any update on Nest? Is the Shuvi the game plan?
The Shuvi is the game plan. Yeah, with her, he mentioned that she got a little bit sick on them when she first came in to Palm Beach Downs, so he missed about a month of training. He said so. Then the original plan was like maybe Double Dog Dare or the La Troyenne down in Kentucky, and then the Phipps. Then they kind of lost that time. They thought we could still make the Phipps. Then it was getting a little too close, so then he said, let's pull the plug. Let's try Shuvi. You know, he toyed with the idea maybe the Molly Pitcher at Monmouth, mount a 16th, maybe not as hard of a comeback race, but she had run well here, obviously last year, winning the coaching club in the Alabama, so he thought that was a logical spot for her. So
maybe okay
look for her in Clairière.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe okay to miss the Phipps because Clairière is the last two races, the Apple Blossom and the Phipps. She's looked
And Clairière may show up in the Shuvi, too. Yeah. I mean, you want to talk about $250,000 grade three? You got Clairière and Nest.
Yeah, that's right. She missed the Phipps, but she'll still wind up going against Clairière.
Time for an upgrade to the race and maybe a purse hike. Yeah. I mean, that's going to be a heck of a race. But that just shows you what Saratoga is. I mean, a grade three on a Sunday.
Doing the handicapping show the last couple of months, and it happens every year. As you get to a couple of months, 6 weeks, 4 weeks out, the big stakes are races from around the country. I come back on the air after the race and I say, well, watch for that one up at Saratoga. Watch for that one up at Saratoga. Because all the big names are going to show up here.
My buddies, the guys that I'm friends with that are trainers maybe in Kentucky or elsewhere, I'll text them, you know, like, see you in the Schuylerville and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's fun.
Have to mention the power grid because if folks aren't aware, certainly the selections are a big part. And again, since you're not printing every day, selections are available every day, but you go to thisishorseracing.com and you can find the selections.
That's right.
And there we see two of the prominent ones that have been knocking heads the past few years. You and Mr. Chapazian.
One, two, every year, right? Yeah. I got to move over to that left column. I can't get there. But Chapazian's tough, man. He's the king, right? I mean, it's hard to knock him off. I feel like last year I came close, and then I took a ton of stabs like the last 2 days, and he really spurted away at the end. But I was throwing a bunch of Hail Marys. You know, I was trying to land one every time. But, yeah, so you get the picks on Wednesday and Saturday is our print schedule. So you get the paper every Wednesday, except for today, obviously. We did an opening day. And then we do a six straight during the sales time, Hall of Fame through the Whitney, all the way through the Fasig Tipton sales. But Wednesday and Saturday in the print, and then online on our website, thisishorseracing.com, for Thursday, Friday, Sunday. Keep the running total going. It's great. We got a sponsor for the handicapping page this year, Toga Racing, which is a new guy, Chip, who also owns a couple restaurants in town. So,
nice.
It's good to have a sponsor for that page.
How many handicappers this year?
We got five.
Five?
It's John Chapazian, myself, Rob Whitlock, who they call Garlic Rob, Charles Bedard, who's been in there for as long as I've been in there, and Jessica Paquette.
Okay, same lineup as last year.
Yep, same lineup as, the last couple of years, I think.
Okay.
So we used to kind of have the guest handicapper, but that was when we had more papers, and we rotated it, you know. I'd love to bring it back because it was fun, you know. I had a kind of a roster of guests and all that.
Now that is fun. Good to see how
somebody
who's not necessarily doing it every day,
how
they, because they get into it too.
Oh, and then everybody's, you know, everybody thinks they're good at it. I'm like, let's try it. I have friends that are like that. They're like, Lawman, you stink.
I'll kill it.
They're like, you had two winners. I'm like, let's have you do it every day. And not only that, but you're doing it a day in advance.
Yeah.
So as you know, it's Saratoga, when we get crazy weather, you know, I'm handicapping yesterday, like thinking it's a downpour today and like, the forecast changes every minute.
Yeah, I'm great. Yeah, you come up on Saturdays. The handicap a Wednesday card with the bottom level claimers.
Yep.
It's a little bit different. Before we let you go, I know you liked one today, and I like the horse too.
Yeah.
The Al Stahl runner.
Yeah, race eight.
In race number eight.
Yeah, race eight, a mile.
Hit on
it's
that a little bit.
A starter allowance on the grass. Unleash the Power, number six, for Columbine Stable, longtime client of Al's. This is a horse, you know, dropping into the starter from Kentucky. Hadn't run since Churchill when they were running, still running at Churchill. Love the rider switch to Saez. You know, rides these.
He's going to be interesting.
Rides these courses so well here, and he's just such a top jock. I mean, he hadn't been seen in a while. He's been staying in Kentucky, cultivating his business down there. But Unleash the Power. Hopefully, a little bit of a price. I know Al likes the horse a little bit too, and he's, you know, for him to sort of say that. Yeah, he's pretty shrewd. So for him to kind of, I don't think he was like, he's not like shouting it from the rooftops by any means. But I know he likes his horse in there. So pretty good race.
As do I. I agree with that one as well. Tom, will let you go, but again, tell people, yeah, pick up the power pick. You and I were knocking heads going to the last day.
We always are. Without, I mean, you're good.
And then you, the last day, you had a couple of, and it's like, oh, you got
Well, you're
me.
Good, Sal. Well, either you're good or we're both bad. I don't know.
I'm going with the good side of
Let's
the
Let's go
equation.
With it, yeah.
Tom, absolutely appreciate it. Again, you'll be in the rotation with the Saratoga Special guys, Joe and Sean Clancy, on Wednesdays from now on, but we appreciate your kicking things off on opening day. Definitely go around town, pick up the special. If you're at the track, pick it up. But don't forget, if you're watching from a remote location, you can get it online as well. This is horseracing.com. Tom, appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right. He's in the green room, literally, as I say every year. It is literally the green room. Dave Grenning from the Daily Racing Forum will join us right after this. Stay tuned.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Find great racing content on the HHH Racing Podcast. Each week, host Howard Kravitz and regulars Paul Halloran and Pete Visco preview, review, and handicap some of the biggest races from across the country, plus regular visits from the sport's top trainers and handicappers. Find them on YouTube, live Wednesdays and Thursdays, and replays anytime. Learn more at hhhracingpodcast.com and check out the very successful weekly Power Picks at Patreon for the team's picks, plays, and handicapping info.
The Clubhouse Racebook is the Capital Region's new home for racing and sports. 25,000 square feet of Vegas-style action with live wagering on the best horse racing from around the world. 260 flat-screen televisions and state-of-the-art wagering terminals. So don't miss out. The fun is only minutes away at 711 Central Avenue, Albany, just off exit 5 of I-90. And don't forget, if you can't make it to the clubhouse, you can always wager online 24/7 at CapitalOTB.com.
Welcome back. As promised before the break, joined now by our friend Dave Grenning from the Daily Racing Forum, part of the regular team we have rotating in on Thursdays, Dave and Mike Welch. Dave, good morning.
Seth, glad to be
Welcome
here.
Back.
Thank you. Happy opening day.
Always fun to see you and Mike back in town. How long have you been here, and how much work has been done already?
Well, I was a late arrival for me. I came yesterday early morning. Tuesday was my anniversary. I didn't think it was a good idea to leave the wife on anniversary day, so I came up yesterday. And Mike's been here, though, I think since July 4th or 5th, so he's been clocking horses, and the workout report is obviously the first two are up and out, and he's clocking them here along with Mike Vessie. Donald Harris will join, will come in, and Vessie will go to Belmont for a few weeks. At least 3 to 4 days a week at Belmont, so we'll have those works covered. And I was sort of covering those last weekend, so we'll have a lot of, there should be some good information there.
Yeah, and we always tout the workout report, and folks can go to the website and pick it up on a daily basis. And I've heard, I've been watching some podcasts this week, and anybody who's doing some kind of horse racing media is focusing on Saratoga, and a number of them mentioned the workout report. And the thing about Saratoga with the two-year-olds and the first-time starters, you are definitely going to, if you pick up the workout report, you're going to wind up with a couple of little nuggets during the meet.
Yeah, look, it's information. Is it, all these trainers love their two-year-olds going over there, right? So that's why they got it. That's why they spend $300, $500, $1 million on the horses. How they're working, we try to interpret what we see. And look, Mike and Donald do it a lot better than I do, but, we'll get it done.
Gary West always used to say, it's not just how fast they work, it's how they work, and that's what you're getting.
Yeah, you get a lot of, sometimes you see a bullet working done in 46 and 4, you'd be like, wow, that horse is fast. Yeah, but if he went 22-2 and then 24, yeah, that's, you'd rather him do 24 than 22-2. Yeah. So that, hopefully the workout report has that.
And also they're going to note working in company, that always makes a difference, who they're working with and how they did against the competition, you know, quote unquote, that makes a difference,
right? Because you're trying to figure out, you know, purpose of these works, and sometimes a trainer will take a very good horse and working with maybe just a so-so horse to try and get that horse's confidence up. Others, they're trying to, you know, with the two-year-olds, they're all trying to figure out which ones are better, the best matchups, and you know, nobody really does that better than Todd Pletcher and Chad Brown matching up their horses to get the most out of their works. But that's a science, that's an art that those two, you know, can explain better than I can. I don't know how they, you know, I watch a set of Chad Brown's horses come to the wire, and they're always in hand and always heads bobbing in the wire, and a lot of that time with Todd, too. It's amazing. How did you know that that horse was going to be a good match for that horse?
It's notable, too, when these two-year-olds and first-time starters, when they have them matched up with a horse with more experience, an older horse.
Someone runs, a lot of the claimers sometimes, you know, I remember watching Linda Rice downstate had a pair that they were just recent claims, so she's probably trying to get a line on those horses, claim this one for 50, I claim this one for 40, you know, match them up against each other and say, wow, that 40, maybe he could have been a 50.
Speaking of Linda Rice, let's get into the human side of things, because it was fun. Belmont, and again, Dave, the New York correspondent for the Daily Racing Form, so you've been down at Belmont and came into that last weekend on the human side of things. Linda Rice just on an incredible streak, and she kind of had won it easily over the past couple of, over the final couple of days. I think the margin wound up to be 5 or 6 over Chad Brown for Linda. And on the jockey side of things, Jose Ortiz and Irad Ortiz, that was a lot of fun going into the last 2 days, and then the last day itself was a lot of fun. So they all come in hot, and we can see also some of the jocks that did well up here at Saratoga last year as well, you know, Manny Franco and Luis Saez. Your thoughts on the human side?
Look, that jockey colony, it doesn't get any better right now than what's in that room. You had the ones at Belmont, obviously the Ortiz brothers and Manny and Flavian had a really nice meet, got hot toward the end of the meet. Luis Saez decided to spend the spring in Kentucky, which could only maybe serve to help him based on if those Kentucky horses and horsemen bring their A game. He won between Churchill and Ellis. He won more races than anybody else there. He still has a good rapport with some of the New York guys. He did win the title just 2 years ago.
Yeah,
and that's when he was firmly entrenched in New York. But he's also got Brad Cox in his corner. So Louis is kind of I don't want to say wild card, but he's, you know, if an Ortiz is going to get beat at the meet, I would think Luis Saez has the best chance.
And it's worth mentioning Kieran, his agent, who has done a great job with him the past, what, 2-3 years?
I think it's been about three. And the other thing, though, to remember, you know, as far as the meet titles go, you know, that last week coincides with the opening of Kentucky Downs. And the money is just too good to pass up at Kentucky Downs to say, okay, I want to win the most races at Saratoga. And you know what? The most money is pretty good, too. Linda Rice won the most races at Belmont. Chad Brown won the most money, and you know, I think Chad's not going to cry over five less wins, but $1.5 million more money.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true. Some of the stories, and again, just kind of doing a meet overview, one of the stories I mentioned on the Handicappers Report this morning, a story that I think kind of has floated under the radar, but I think it's more important than maybe people are chatting about. But the purse enhancement for the New York Breds, I think, is going to be notable. I'm going to be interested to see how it affects those open company races and where the New York Breds choose to go with the, you know, a purse that with the enhancement is sitting there at $140,000 for a meet.
No, it's an interesting point. I don't, you know, it will be interesting to see how they impact the those open company allowance races, because, you know, in that older division, you see the nominations for those stakes races are a little bit on the lighter side. So now, you know, are there enough of them to make a difference, or are there some waiting in the weeds that are, you know, that will get more incentivized to run in those races? I think it remains to be seen. It's still tough to run in an open three other than with a New York Bred who has maybe a condition left in the New York Bred ranks, or are they going to go for the allowance open or the New York Bred stake? And so I guess it remains to be seen how it plays out, but it is, you know, if you, it's a good time to own New York Breds.
No question
about that.
Program is definitely It's worth, as you say, worth owning a New York. And if you have, I've said for years, if you have a New York bread and a good New York bread, your options are limitless because you can go for a rich New York bread steak or go out into open company. And I think over the past few years, that's proven out. But this year up here at Saratoga, maybe even a little more interesting. One, Jackie, I didn't mention, but when I was doing the handicapping show down in Albany the past couple of weeks, I think Dylan Davis comes in with a little momentum.
He does, because he was off to a bit of a slow start at Belmont, and he picked it up toward the middle and end of the meet as well. And look, they all sort of, I don't say fall through the cracks, but you'll see Dylan on a horse that you look at the odds and be like, why is that horse that big a price? Well, you can't bet them all, and yeah. He'll give you 125% effort. So. He'll get you home some long shots. I bet you he gets home a couple $30 horses.
Speaking of odds, is it just me or do you have the same feeling too? It happens not just in New York, but when the betting public gets on a favorite now, man, they get on a favorite. I'll sit and do the afternoon show and it'll be a bottom level claimer and you'll look up and it'll be an okay horse and does probably have the best buyer figures, but it's not invincible. You look up 3-5 and like, oh,
No, I think that's been happening. Obviously, I concentrate mostly on New York, but I think that's been happening in New York for a long time. When when they get on a favorite, somebody must think, well, that guy must know. Somebody knows something, so they just pile on. And like you said, it goes from 6-5 to 3-5, and you're like, wow, why is that horse 3-5? New York loves their favorites.
Yikes.
And favorites did hit about 40% at Belmont, which is a little bit, you're usually around the 33%. Range at Belmont, and I think we were close. It was 40 going into the last week. I can't remember if it stayed there or not, but it was 40% is high for a meet, and especially in New York. And so the proverbial they.
I mean, and for folks, I always say when we're up here at Saratoga, we're probably getting some newer people. For folks who aren't familiar, what 30-36% normally for favorites, like that, and it may be a little bit lower, higher, but. 40% is kind of crazy. All right, let's get a couple ideas over the next couple of days in stakes action. Today, the Schuylerville, great way to kick off the stakes action. I said it earlier, it's a different era now where these two-year-old summertime stakes races, you're getting horses coming out of maiden breakers, and horses can often improve mightily, start one to start two. I went master of the obvious with Wine on Tap, pulled up the replay here. Going back to June 18th, and Wine on Tap looked pretty good in the debut effort. The buyer kind of stands out at Pletcher. It's Irad. So I went there. Saratoga Secret is interesting. At 10-1, if that holds up, closing act, experience counts, and closing act for Asmussen is already a stakes winner. But what do you see in the Schuylerville?
Yeah, I kind of saw it the same way. I think Wine on Tap might be one of those favorites that they all jump on board.
Yeah.
Tap it to win first time out in June, going 5/8. You got to sort of upgrade that performance. That's not what they usually do. That's not what they're meant to do. And she was pretty professional doing it, and just getting out. That was 5. She should love 6. She should love longer. She's a Tap It for crying out loud, out of a Quality Road mare. So she looks like, I think she's the one to beat. Saratoga Secret, I liked her race as well, and she's another one. She's by Arrogate out of a Fort Larned mare that you'd think 5-5.5 isn't something she's going to do, and she did it well enough. I interviewed Louis Saez when he was at Belmont for this weekend, and he said she did it pretty professionally, and then he kind of warned me, said she's not the only one he's got over there, by the way. So Wayne's apparently got some good two-year-olds over there to watch through the meet. I guess the one we didn't mention that's sort of interesting is Carmelina on the rail. She chased the leader around there for a while and then caught it. She was a little bit late changing leads. That's what I meant to say. She wasn't chasing a leader. I wrote changing leads, and I just read it as chasing. She was a little bit late to change her leads, which, maybe having the race under her belt will help her. She got a good number as well. Butch Reed did train the runner-up of that race, so he's kind of got a good idea of what he beat, what she beat that day. So you guys have to deal with the rail, which may not be the greatest spot in an 11-horse field, but she broke her maiden from the rail.
And Butch Reed, as you were talking, I'm looking because I had that horse in the mix as well. I want to say Butch Reed won a stake up here early last year, one of the early stakes as well. I mean, he's normally based down there. He kind of flew off. And Mormino brought up the number 11 Sugar Treat. He brought up a great point that as opposed to a lot of two-year-old winners, which do it on the front end, this one kind of sat off the bend. I think that's always notable with the two-year-old in debut.
And the thing about her also, she won on synthetic, but she's trained well enough on the dirt. I did talk to Mark Cassie about this filly last week, and he, she, the reason she ran on synthetic, twofold. One, she was in Florida. This is where the race came up that she was ready to run in, and the date of the race and all that. And she did, they bought her off of OBS, Breeze, you know, off the Breeze show there, and she breezed on synthetic. So she showed some good form, which is what made her then pay 125 or 124. And like you said, then she, you know, kind of chase, she had to kind of chase a little bit. You know, she didn't have the smoothest of trips either. Maybe being on the outside could possibly help, especially if we do get rain. And if it's a wet track later in the day, she probably can avoid getting the mud splash in her face. And as we were noting earlier, Pratt really got hot toward the end of the meet. And so if he can carry that momentum over, you know, she's live at a bit of price,
I didn't
too.
Use her, but the more I look, the more I'm kind of intrigued. All right, let's get a couple ideas for tomorrow. Two stakes on the card tomorrow. The Wilton, which comes out of that one-mile shoot. It's only a field of five, and I kind of went master of the obvious here with randomized, but not invincible given what this horse did in the Acorn, which was a little bit of a dud after the Maiden Breaker. We're going to take a look at the stretch run of the Maiden Breaker going back to late March, and the 92 buyer there, I couldn't ignore that, so I put that one on top. But again, I don't think the horse is invincible. Sacred Wish is a little bit interesting. A Seed also seems to be a player. What are your thoughts on the Wilton?
Yeah, I thought the randomized is the horse to beat based on that Maiden win, as you're showing here. The Acorn's weird, so he had A Seed and randomized. Randomized started from post two, wound up six wide. A Seed started from post eight and wound up on the rail. I don't think randomized really liked the kickback when she got toward the inside there. And now that she's parked on the outside, could be the speed of the race too, or she's sitting right off of Unsung Melody. I think she portends to get a better trip than she got in the Acorn here, and that should be enough. I like Sacred Wish a little bit. I was actually hoping, I was there July 7th on the grass work, and I wrote that one up, and I was like, kind of expecting to see her on the grass after that work. It wasn't just the time, it was kind of the way she did it. Johnny V was on her, and I think they will look at grass at some point, maybe her next start, but George Weaver, the trainer, basically said, look, this is a five-horse field. She's run well enough on dirt in some of her races. He just thought that this was, you know, too good an opportunity to pass up for at least the stakes anyway. He didn't really have a good excuse for the black-eyed Susan. Said she got a little bit nervous that day, and the jock took up, Johnny, I guess it was on her too, took up a three-quarter pole and kind of really didn't get a whole lot of run out of her after that. Now, yeah, she was beaten by Sunset Louise in an allowance race, but if you look at Sunset, that was race was run on a muddy track. If you look at Sunset Louise's form, she's 3-for-3 on a muddy track, so she ran into her wet track lover that day. I wouldn't hold that against her. I think she's live in here and probably be a little bit better price than randomized.
Definitely be a better price, no question about it. And George Weaver, how about George Weaver winning at Royal Ascot?
One of the better stories.
It really was.
That was a really,
yeah.
And to see Cindy made the trip over there was very,
as well.
Very
was,
cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And finally, tomorrow, also the Coronation Cup, 5.5 on the grass. We'll see how the weather plays out. But again, I kind of went master of the obvious with Love Rain's going to pull up the limestone victory at Keeneland. It's Wesley Ward, turf sprinter for Stone Street, who has shown some flashes of talent, but Love appeals for Christophe Clement. Lately raced, maybe still some upside potential, and George Weaver has My Sweet Affair, also lately raced and maybe some upside potential. And what also stood out to me with My Sweet Affair, that July 7th workout, I think maybe touting that one a little bit. Your thoughts on the Coronation Cup?
Yeah, I guess my only concern with Love Rain's was this was a filly that he was off this limestone race. This was designed to get her to Ascot. Wesley Ward didn't think she was doing well enough in her training after the limestone to warrant a trip to Ascot. So this becomes sort of plan B. And, you know, she's training. The works look fine on paper. Now, I haven't seen, she's been at Keeneland. I have not seen these works. So I don't know exactly how well she's doing, but that would just sort of nag at me a little bit that, you know, this is sort of plan B. He likes to go to Ascot. He didn't take her to Ascot, and she was there last year. So that would be my only hesitancy with her. I do like the other Love horse, Love Appeals. You know, she hasn't run since April, but really, where else was there? There's not a whole lot of places for a three-year-old filly who's out of her allowance condition to run in. You know, so we'll see. I think the cutback for her, shortening up from 7.5, which is a two-turn race at Gulfstream, and you know, her race at Aqueduct, the three-quarter race, was solid. Sweet Lou's Got Aces, who was, I believe, a stakes winner last fall for Ray Handel at Aqueduct, kind of didn't do well at Gulfstream, but then came back to New York and ran well in two starts after that. So I think Love is in the air, as Steve Bick said earlier today. So
I like that. And Dave, before we let you go, again, just a kind of meat overview. I've been saying it now for a couple of months. I said it when Tom Law is here over the past couple of months, as stakes races are won in various parts of the country. Look for that one up here. Look for that one up here. Look for that one. And so I'm thinking it's, and it seems like, speaking of female sprinters on the turf, Paravel may be interesting, Cody's Wish. And the three-year-old division, I think, is going to be very intriguing. The story horse, Arcangelo, after the win in the Belmont, and Jenna Antonucci making a little history there. But we're waiting for the three-year-olds to define themselves. So what are your thoughts?
Well, we'd love to get the Travers, to get all these horses together in Travers. Now, if we've already lost two fills, that's a shame. He's been hurt and retired.
But if you could get he was going to be a player.
Yeah, if you can get Arcangelo, and if you can get Mage, who's supposed to come. We're still waiting to see if Mage is going to go to the Haskell first. We found out in the last day or two here, Forte is going to run in the Jim Danny, which is a good sign. Tappet Trice is going to work Saturday at Belmont, and if things go well, he'll go to the Haskell. Arcangelo, I believe, is just going to train up to the Travers at Mage. Should run, I'm guessing, Haskell, then Travers. Let's get them all there and let's define that. Let's make the Travers a defining race. It has produced a three-year-old champ in the last 2 years. The horse is that, like, essential quality. And the Aspieset horse last year, whose names just flew out of my head, swept the Jim Danny and Travers. Epicenter, sorry.
Had me stumped, too.
This thing's getting old, guys. You know, maybe the Travers winner can get a third, you know, can produce a three-year-old champion. But I just want to see them all here. Just let them. Arabian Knight for Bob Baffert. It's only two for two. I think he's going to go to the Haskell. Hope for a good performance there. Come up here, see how good he really is. The three-year-old division should be fun. And it'll be fun to see Cody's Wish try the Whitney. He's the story. He's the best horse in training right now, and he'd love to see him be able to get the mile and an eighth.
And as I understand it, Cody Dorman will be on track, so we'll get to see the relationship between the horse and that. You know, Bill Mott has said not just a great story, but a great horse tied in with it.
It's very cool.
Yeah. Dave, appreciate it. And again, we'll cycle you and Mike in, hopefully, as the meet progresses, but happy to have you in on kickoff day, and good luck on the meet.
Thanks, Seth. Good luck to you.
All right. We'll be back right after this. We'll get some thoughts from Kevin Cox a little bit later on. John Signor, president of Capital OTB. Stay tuned.
Why just watch the races when you can be in the middle of the action? For nearly 20 years, Bonaventure Stables' share-based ownership program has made thoroughbred ownership affordable for the everyday fan. Ownerships of 5 and 10% are now available on a nice selection of horses. As a partial owner with Bonaventure Stables, you'll enjoy all the benefits afforded every owner. Visit with your horse in the private stable area. Greet the trainers and jockeys in the paddock. And when your horse wins, savor the moment in the winner's circle at Saratoga, Belmont, Aqueduct, or wherever you bring home the prize. Based in historic Saratoga Springs, Bonaventure Stables has been training winners and creating memories since 2005. Learn more, see available horses, and meet our team at bonaventurestables.com.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on opening day. Happy to be joined now by our friend Kevin Cox, the Brooklyn Cowboy. Kevin, good morning.
Good morning, sir. Good to be here.
Welcome back.
Yeah. It feels like yesterday.
Ready to roll?
No. But we'll see. I only got like 4 hours sleep last night, so we'll see.
I know when I see you over on the front side, you're hanging out with our friend Jack Knowlton a lot. I was driving the cart over on the front side to sit in with Steve Bick yesterday and had a little chat with Jack. And it's kind of funny. Yesterday, that wasn't opening day yet. Obviously, it was day zero, essentially. But just kind of walking around the track a little bit, I was already meeting people that you run into every year. That's part of the fun of Saratoga.
You know, I'm very benevolent. Sometimes I like to let Jack sit in my box.
Very good.
I'm good that way.
Very good.
No, he's a great man.
Yeah, he's a lot of fun. You're going to be one of our play of the day guys throughout the meet. How are you feeling? You feeling lucky?
Well, I got the work done already for the first 3 days. That took a lot of doing. I like to get it done so I can at least enjoy opening day not have to worry about deadlines or anything like that. People say, you feeling good this meet? I put in the work. That's all I can say.
Yeah. No that's
up until 2:30, awake at 5:36, so...
That's half of the battle, certainly. I've talked about it the past couple of days, just talked about it with Dave Grenig. Your thoughts on the human side of things? Linda Rice comes in with all kinds of momentum. Certainly the Ortiz brothers are going to take a lot of action. Dave mentioned Luis Saez is interesting. Dylan Davis, I think, comes in with a little bit of momentum as well. Human side of things, what do you think?
Well, the one thing I noted in might have been my opening day column was that I've never seen Irad so locked into a claiming trainer as he is with Jacobson right now. If he can continue to win at the rate he's winning with Jacobson on those horses and get his stakes wins, he could win by double digits easy.
That's interesting. Jack and trainer battles are always a lot of fun. And it's all about horse racing, handicapping, cashing tickets, but I always say I love the stories as well, and the human side of things makes that a lot of fun. Your thoughts on the three-year-old side, because I just talked about that with Dave as well. I've said to people for 2 months at least, I think the three-year-old scene is totally undefined. Hopefully, Haskell, Jim Dandy, Travers, Pennsylvania Derby sorts things out.
The weird thing is, you asked me my thoughts, and I really have no thoughts right now. You know, we're compelled to not think about it right now because of the goings-on, horses being retired and this and that.
Yeah, no, as I say, it's undefined. And two fills, it was unfortunate that he got retired because off of his last
That'll race, make the Jim Dandy more important this year than in other years in the past, usually. Yeah. Usually that's kind of an afterthought. Yeah. But that, and even, you know, the Haskell down south will really have a little more prevalence.
Yeah, those four, the Travers and the Pennsylvania Derby as well, I think have to hopefully define something because at this point they've all kind of been beating each other. All right, before we let you go, we'll grab
Let me go. I just got here.
Well, I said before we let you go, you're gonna handicap three races here, so we still have plenty of time. But I'm interested to see your thoughts on race number two because I'm taking a swing in the second race. So today's second race, Maiden Special, is going 5.5. I thought Classy Mischief was a little bit interesting for Gary Contessa, who isn't known to have firsters ready, but he's up here this year back in Saratoga with a string. I wouldn't be surprised to see him want to pop on the first day, and I thought Classy Mischief, the number one, had a lot of win early breeding. So I'm going to play around there. What are your thoughts in race
that
two?
That rail's awfully tough going 5.5 for a firster.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right.
Especially one without any bullets on the page. You know, you kind of think he may just want the horse to get a little experience, maybe get a little dirt kicked, if it doesn't pan out.
Yeah.
If he doesn't win the break, and there doesn't appear to be any crazy pace duel up front as well. I also took a swing this race because there's only two horses in the race that have raced, and one of the co-favorites was green first time out. So you're going to lean that way on a horse that was green first time out at 3-1 for DW, you know, who's still swinging, you know, but winning at 9%. I'm going to look elsewhere. I went with the number 8, Tap the Keg, here at 20-1. A lot of things I like here. First thing is February foal, so a little bit of maturity on several of the other horses in the race. A lot of people look towards auction price. I like to look at the ratio of what a horse went for at auction in relationship to the stud fee. 10-1 or more, and this one went for more than 10 times the stud fee at Ocala earlier this year, just a couple of months ago. The works are decent enough. You have to really search to find a good work every 4 or 5 workouts for this horse. And the barn is 3-7 with those fitting all of this exact criteria. I mean exact. Made in special weight, no Lasix, Saratoga, except for the jockey, with a positive return on investment there. The family tree, 5 members of the family tree upstairs have raced. 3 of them won first time out. 1 of them finished 3rd. The dam was unraced. And, you know, I love Katie. Katie's 9-19 with this barn. With dirt stock, 9-19, she wins at 7%. But if you eliminate some of those 30-1 shots she's riding, she's probably a double-digit rider in all essence. She's 9-for-19 with the barn, with dirt stock, 50 days or less, at 27-to-1 or less, with a 491 ROI. And like we said, there's no real world beaters signed on here. I threw in Empire Island, which is the morning line favorite, as the second choice, just because of the works. Cassie's not really known for his prowess with firsters, but how do you leave the horse out off a bullet gate breeze? Not just a bullet breeze, but a bullet gate breeze. And then I put in Lady Moscato. You have to put the Lucas horse in there because the horse hit the board first time out. I kind of inverted my second and third choices, but I went with the 8, 6, 2, and I texted Katie yesterday. I said, don't make me out a liar in tomorrow's second. Hopefully she gets it done.
Yeah, Wayne Lucas had a nice little Ellis meet, so he comes in on a little bit of a roll. And Ray Handel, your top picks trainer, definitely on a little bit of a roll. He's been doing very well down in New York.
You know, one thing I wasn't privy to until I was killing some time over there is the added bonus for certain races for New York breds, which is not for every race, but it's for certain races. So if you're a New York bred and you win this race, you get an extra 30 large.
New York breds in open races. That's why if you look up at the top of the page, you're seeing the $136,000. But then if you read the conditions, it parses it out. It's actually $105,000. But if you're a New York bred, you're racing for the $136,000.
If Kentucky can do it, why can't we?
I think this is kind of an answer to that, because they were pulling some horses too. You put up that kind of money, and people are going to show up.
And you mentioned Zach Knowlton, but he's one of the people that got the New York bred program on the map. Yeah. So something like this could happen 10, 20 years down the road.
I've been around long enough to remember when Fiorito actually put the New York breds on the map, breaking through the gate, getting reloaded, and winning the Whitney many years ago with Les Hewlett on board from the
Finger Lakes jockey, right? Who's the trainer?
Yeah. Who was the trainer, Fiorito? I don't remember.
I didn't mean to stump you.
No, I don't.
You've had a long morning, man. All right, I'm stumping you.
I thought it was good enough. I remembered Les Hewlett was on. Now I'm going to have to
look. Your cohort would have known the trainer. What do you have for breakfast that morning? He had bacon, egg, and cheese on a roll. I believe he eschewed the ketchup.
You nailed that. fourth race today, we're looking at optional claimers to the sea condition, scheduled on the grass at 8.5 furlongs. I went with the entry, kind of master of the obvious, although I like the plain one quite a bit. The Chad Brown horse for Stephanie Seymour Brandt is going to be a player of the 5. California Queens may be a little bit interesting. The other Chad, what did you see in the fourth?
I lean towards the first three races with the weather possibly being suspect for the last three or four races of the card. You're not going to get 4-1 on California Queen here. I don't think at all. I think you're going to get maybe, 3-1 or possibly even 5-2 because of the back class. Horses, the class of the field, a little bit of a fragile sort. You see the layoff lines, but with Chad runners, doesn't mean the horse is sore. He has an embarrassment of riches, so he can afford to give horses more time off because the owners are well-heeled and they don't care about paying the day rate as long as they win races. He's 8-for-18 with optional fillies on this course. I always go by course, not just track, with horses that have finished in the money 27 to 67 days ago with a positive ROI. My secondary pick was the number 3, Poca Mucha. Has shown nothing in the last three races, but I always like to be forgiving of the pre-layoff line and the first after the layoff line, because maybe something went amiss before the layoff, and maybe the horse wasn't fully cranked after. Mott doesn't send over too many slugs, and if you look back, this one has a first and a third and second on the layoff tries in his career, and her career, excuse me, I don't want to get hollered at. Third choice, I went with Star Divine. Just tossed him because of a touch of the back less.
I do like that angle you look at, the year-to-year kind of things, when you can look back and see horses do well right off the layoff or second off the layoff, because I think that it's worth kind of looking at the historical factors there and seeing how they play.
That's what the DRF formulator does. It gives you the angles. You can go back off well off the page, 30, 40 races, and I add them all up. It takes a lot of work.
No, and that's, you said you put in the work, and I think that's what we have to do as public handicappers, because I think that's what people, the folks who come up here for the day or two or once or twice a week, they've got full-time jobs, a lot of them, they don't have the time, and so they can rely on us to maybe give them some information that otherwise is not just perfectly obvious on the page.
When they ask who you like, I say, click on my damn column, please. It took me 6 hours to write. It'll take you 8 minutes to read. Click on the damn column. I lost a friend over that. Who do you like in the Derby? Can you at least hit the damn computer? Jesus.
Give me a like and a subscribe. Get out of here. Fifth race today, it's a plain vanilla claimer, a mile and an eighth. I went with Portos, but man, I'm stepping out of Stakes Company and going all the way down to a 20 claimer. I have real question marks there. Ali, my boy, I think off the last was a little bit questionable, but Phil Bauer got off to such a good start last year. Dust Devil, a player for me as well. What did you see in the fifth?
Well, I landed on number four, Ali, my boy. Here's the thing. When I see a horse is claimed for 50, and then he received the most unkindest cut of all after that race, he was gelded, and entered for 20, what I like to do is I compute the day rate from the time the horse was claimed. I compute the purse of the race, what the owner would get after the trainers and jockeys cut, a couple of vet fees, and then you figure out if they're going to show a profit or a loss with this horse. Even with the win and a claim today, they stand to lose $11,200, yeah, give or take. So you know the horse is going to be, it's now or never time, obviously. You mentioned Bauer. The last 3 years here in dirt routes, 32 to 45 days, check this out. 9 starts, 7 wins, and 2 seconds. You have to narrow it down the day's parameter with a big return in the ROI, as you alluded to, how he's been doing well, but even better under circumstances like this. And, I put Portos in there for second because you kind of have to. The white flag is up, obviously. Yeah, they lost a ton of money with this horse if you add up all the...
If the horse has all four wheels on, just outclasses this bunch, but boy, that's a precipitous drop.
The one thing I like at the trip, 2 wins, 2 seconds, and 2/3 from 8 starts, 0 for 20 otherwise, so does well at the trip. And then I tossed in Steiner for third because Gutierrez is here, and you know he's going to try to make a little bit of a name for himself to at least try for second and third and things like that. Yeah, and he's folks, a win machine also.
I mentioned Ray Lou during the handicapping show, but if folks aren't familiar, he's an upstate New York guy. He started out at Finger Lakes because he's from that area. He was here, was it 2 summers ago or 3 summers ago, but now he's been kind of going around the country, had a great fairgrounds meet, so easy guy to root for, nice
He was
guy,
on Naira on the circuit a few years ago, got slaughtered, but he's a completely different,
no,
he's a completely different animal right now, you know?
Absolutely.
And you know he's going to want more mounts, so he's not going to slow down for third. He's going to really try hard for second and third for you.
Yeah, it'll be fun to watch. Kevin, appreciate the visit. We'll have you plugged in at various points throughout the meet, but also you're in the rotation for the play of the day. And again, I'll remind people, our play of the day bankroll, the entries are open at the website. I think remain open until Tuesday. 50 people on the team, $100 placed on the play of the day every day. Team splits up the winnings at the end of the meet. Not to put the pressure on.
Well, last year in the play today, I showed a flatbed profit for the meet.
Yeah, no, it was very good.
Hold on, let me fix my collar. There we go.
That's notable.
My plays of the day will be on Fridays and Sundays throughout the meet. And the first one only took me 5 takes. I'm a little meticulous, so only 5 takes. Oh, I storyboard everything. I have, if you see my eyes darting a little bit, I have like sheets of paper hanging below the camera, which is
storyboard. I love that.
I'm like Seinfeld. I'm going to need a whole storyboard here.
Very good. So we'll be looking forward to that throughout the meet. And as I say, we'll have you plugged in here a few Thursdays as well as the meet goes along. Kevin, appreciate it.
Great. And if anybody sees me at the track, feel free to say hello.
Kevin Cox, the Brooklyn Cowboy. All right, we'll take another break when we come back. John Signor, president of OTB. We'll go over some of the events and promos and more for OTB during the Saratoga season. Stay tuned.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Sometimes it pays to go with the flow, to check your worries at the door, to reconnect with your crew, to follow the thrills and the flavor, to roll with it and see where it takes you, to enjoy every minute to its fullest, and to dance like there's no tomorrow. You can do that here at Rivers Casino and Resort Schenectady, where the good times flow.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player, to have a better knowledge of the game, to be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB. Become a better horse player.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. Again, day one up here at Saratoga. It's been a lot of fun. If you are tuned into the Handicapper Support earlier, as usual, we have the horses. It's just a great location here. And out the front of our tent, we can see the activity. And the Jim Bond crew is always going by with their horses early in the morning. As we get to this point in the day, they're more grooming the track and things are settling down and getting ready for the afternoon. But we are thrilled to be here. Again, day one. And kind of a tradition on day one. Happy to be joined now by the Capital OTB president, John Signor. John, good morning.
Hey, Seth, how you doing?
Very good. As I say, kind of a tradition. You ready?
I am. Well, I don't know. You know, it's crazy.
I think we all say that.
We have to go through those bad winters in upstate New York, and you're like, are we ever going to get out of this weather? And then suddenly you blink, and it's opening day at Saratoga. Yeah. So, we have to be ready, right? Yeah. So it's kind of go time, but...
Do you get that like I do? You're at the supermarket and people know who you are, and it's like starting probably I would say 6 weeks ago. You ready?
Yeah,
you ready?
I know, right? Yeah, they start. Yeah, exactly. But I think our patrons are ready too. They're excited as well, and racing fans in the Capital Region. It's awesome. So yeah, things are good. Just happy to be here at Saratoga. You know, we were sitting in Albany watching the pitcher and seeing the horses run by on Clare Court. I mean. Can you get a better background? I don't think so. So this is beautiful.
I say it all the time. We had Randy Moss in here a couple of seasons ago. Randy and Jerry were here. And Randy said, man, you have the best set in all of horse racing television. And I could not deny it. And I'll tie that in. And that we did it yesterday with our kickoff show. But I'll let you reiterate as well. We're here, best set in horse racing television in front of Clare Court on the backstretch at Saratoga. So we always have to kind of appreciate the hospitality that the New York Racing Association.
Sure, yeah. I mean, you know, we have to, you know, we reach out to NYRA every year and say, hey, can we put our studio at Clare Court again? And they're always very supportive and I think they appreciate what we do to promote Saratoga racing, obviously. I mean, we want to, you know, we look at this as giving the patrons who can't come here kind of behind the scenes look at what's going on at Saratoga, meet all the major players in the game, you know, the jockeys, trainers, owners, NYRA officials. So that's why we're here. It's funny, on Twitter, they're like, you know, you can see the, you know, criticizing the site. You can see the post in the back. I'm like, look, we're not Fox News. We're not NBC. We're a gritty team back here. This is what you get. And we bring you 3 hours of programming every morning. Nobody else does it. Only Capital OTB, and we're happy to do it. We're happy to promote the track. We're happy to tell fans to come up to Saratoga, enjoy the track, you know, and bring your family up, and there's nothing like it. So
yeah, if folks only knew, you know, us compared to Fox and that we put out the 2 hours of live television every day. And I know people appreciate it. And again, yesterday, and I should do it again today because opening day, probably more people are tuned in. Certainly want to thank, you know, Phil and Jeremy who've been up here for the last few weeks putting everything together, and Dan, Dino, and Mick who are kind of behind the scenes here. Shannon and Nate and whatnot in the marketing department, appreciate everybody, and everybody pitches in to make this happen. And I will reiterate what I say all the time, and I'll say it to you, pass it on, because people recognize me over on the front side. And throughout the meet, 12 people a day will come up and say, hey, great show, really appreciate the show. And I was doing that going back before the time I was here. I appreciate it. As a racing fan, I think this is a real asset, OTB television being here live on the backstretch with the biggest names in the game, a golf cart ride away. And it's been, we were talking with somebody, it's been probably 30 years OTB's been back here doing this.
Yeah, no, it's an, and yeah, like you said, I mean, I go back to, you know, watching Jack Woofer Cedar and, you know, Vandenberg was part of the team. And then you had, you know, Cusano and Veach and, you know, Amello and Nick Lane. I mean, the whole gang. No, this has been, it was must-see TV and still is.
Yeah.
So, no, we love doing it. I think it separates us from all the OTBs in the state and really all the racing. I don't know where else you can go and get 3 hours of programming at a major meet before the races, where they're talking to, you know, all the players, you know, handicapping, you know, we do morning workouts. I mean, that's it too. You know, at 7:30 to 8:30, we're showing the track, we're showing morning workouts. I mean, we're not like saying, hey, this horse is running this, but we're just giving you a flavor of what's going on at the track in the morning. Mix up here early to do that. Like you said, Dino and Danny do a terrific job. And then we have Handicappers Report at 9, and then we have the Racing Across America, you know, the Saratoga edition at 10. And then we have Loose on the Lead on Sundays with Steve. So we just have a really good team. And really, the team is all back from last year. You know, Anthony, obviously, Brian Nowdow is going to be helping out. Peter Appleby does the blog on weekends for the stakes. Kevin Cox, Steve Bick doing the play of the day. So it's, no, and we have a good team. Everybody is like gung-ho enthusiastic about racing. That's the people we want on this set talking about racing. And, you know, we're looking forward to a great meet. We, you know, last couple of years have been great for Capital OTB and Saratoga. Saratoga's having historic numbers. We had a great year last year, so we're hoping that we can continue that trend this year.
Yeah, and the OTB board meeting was last night, and I went handicapped in front of the board, and I said at the start of the meeting, because I know a lot of them will be over here this afternoon, I said, take a chance just to walk around the track, because the game has changed, where a lot of tracks, folks don't turn out. They're playing on their phone or their tablet, Capital OTB Bet or some of the other ADWs. But these are our customers, and you get to walk around the track, and you see young, old men, women, and Saratoga has the special sauce that brings them out, and we always tell people to come up because it also brings new people to the game because it is such an event, and so it's going to be a fun 40 days, but we also say if you can't make it up to the track, the Clubhouse Racebook, your local branch, your Easy Bet, and we have a lot of promotions tied in.
Yeah, I mean, we have
a
business run too, right? Yeah. So, and we're saying come to the track, but if you can't make it to the track, stop by a local branch or Easy Bet, get your bets in, go home and watch the races. You know, you can watch them on, obviously, on OTB TV. We're going to have all the Saratoga races. You know, Nyra does the Fox Sports presentation as well. I just want to add, you know, we want to wish, you know, Dave O'Rourke and his team good luck on the meet. I mean, I'm sure they're going to do gangbusters up here. It's just like, you know, if the weather is good up here, they're going to crush last year.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's some momentum going into this meet. I think there's some enthusiasm, and that's a good thing. So I'm hoping they have a great meet, and I hope Dave and his team do, have a successful meet this year.
Well, and we've been talking about it this morning, but also for the past few weeks. I think the stakes schedule this year is playing into some really big names, like Cody's Wish. The three-year-old scene has to sort itself out, but that's going to make the 2 3-year-old stakes up here very, very important.
Race, the Travers, and hopefully the Jim Dandy.
Maple Leaf Mel wins the other day for Bill Parcells, and I think the test may be on her agenda. So I think the stakes schedule is really going to pull people in. But again, as notable, if you are playing from home or you're on your tablet or your computer, and you're not taking advantage yet, OTB, we have the Bet 100, Get 100 promotion.
Yeah, just CapitalOTBBet.com. Look, there's a lot of options out there where to wager. I mean, you know, we would just say, look at us, CapitalOTBBet.com. We're doing the Bet 100, Get 100. We generate money. We give it to local governments. So all the counties in our region get money from Capital OTB. We're giving back historic numbers in the last few years. I want to thank the racing fans for that. You know, the last 2 years have been very, very successful for Capital OTB. I know everybody looks at Capital OTB, they're like, oh, all the OTBs are dying. No, we're Capital OTB is very successful. We're very fortunate to have a loyal fan base who wagers with us. And as a result, we're able to generate money for local governments. Also, you know, I want to thank our board of directors, who I know you guys thanked yesterday as far as the support they give for the programming up here, but just the support they give in general and the oversight they do of the OTB Corporation. You know, they're representatives of the counties where we send the money to, and they're, you know, they do a great job, very supportive of the initiatives that we put in place, and it's been successful, and we're just moving forward. I mean, it's funny, the Gaming Commission report came out the other day, and we, Capital OTB, paid, now maybe it's because we do the most handle, right? But we paid Saratoga Racecourse the most money, and we paid Saratoga Harness the most money.
Oh, wow.
So we support, you know, we support the community. Yeah, we support our local tracks out of all the OTBs. So, you know, Capital OTB is giving back not only to the counties, but we give back to the racing industry as well. It's a win-win. And, you know, and just a few other things. You know, obviously we have a bunch of promotions. I'm not going to run through them all. Just go to CapitalOTB.com or watch the TV station or check out Twitter. We'll run them all there at Capital OTB. Just check us out on Twitter. We're also on the, we got the Times Union. I know you guys have talked about the Times Union. We're on their green sheet. I think we're the main sponsor there. So you'll just see, I think two OTB handicappers every day, along with some of the Times Union handicappers. Also have to thank OTB employees. Right, OTB employees are at the front line, our branch employees, our customer service employees, they're, you know, along with everybody else, but our frontline workers are our branch employees doing a tremendous job, and it's just going to get busier for the next 40 days. So just, you know, be patient with our customers, and this is our most successful time of the year during the Saratoga meet. So we're very much looking forward to it. And then kind of lastly is the fans. I think I said it before, but without the fans, you know, we don't exist. Without their support and loyalty and betting through Capital OTB, we don't exist. So we're very appreciative of, and I think they appreciate what we give them. You know, we give them a TV station. We cover horse racing 24/7. We're really the only OTB in the state that focuses on horse racing. All the other OTBs get VLT money one way or the other. We're like, you know, our focus is 100% on horse racing, and we do the best job we can. We're not perfect, but we'll keep trying to improve, and we're looking forward to a good meet.
Yeah, no, it's as I say, I've gotten a lot of feedback from people over the past couple of months, certainly the past month, past couple of weeks. Hey, you ready for it? And they're looking forward to watching the TV show, because again, all the biggest names in horse racing are Golf Car Right Away. Last summer, Mike Rapoli was sitting here, Tom Amos, Todd Pletcher. We had Tom Rooney from the NTRA. They reached out and they want to come back in and sit in this summer as well. And so industry representatives, racing media, the trainers and the jockeys.
I still remember the day when, now it's controversial now, right? When American Pharoah raced up here and Bob Baffert was on stage, sitting in our studio doing an interview for 20 minutes before, or maybe longer, before the Travers. And I think during the break, he goes, does anybody watch this station? Or something like that to Mark. But Mark was able to keep him around. I mean, they're the kind of people you get. You had a great interview with Asmussen when he had, the record wins and things like that. No, I mean, like I said, we're giving the folks who can't come here a behind-the-scenes look, talking to all the players, and just giving you a flavor of Saratoga. We can't do everything. But in our little corner here at Clare Court, we do as much as we can, and we want to bring that to the fans. And I think we do a pretty good job.
Absolutely. And again, if you were up here and saw our staff, I look over, and it was a couple of years ago, they were getting ready for an NBC broadcast, and they had more people on the gate putting a camera up than we have total. So again, it's a heavy lift, but guys do a great job. But we should also mention, because this is just kind of the past couple of years, and the technology is great as compared to, as I say, 20 years ago, where our viewing audience was, you know, a circle around Albany and Saratoga. But now, and if you're out there watching, we'd love to hear from folks who maybe watch different parts of the country, because I know they do. We stream live every morning via Capital OTB. You can watch the morning programs on our website, but also YouTube, and we're on the RTM channel via Roku. So yeah, I've gotten feedback from people. There's Twitter person from Arkansas who's always touting us to other folks on Twitter. So
absolutely. Yeah, if you're coming up, if you come up for a week up here and you like the program and you want to watch it back home, just log into CapitalOTB.com, hit media, hit live stream, and you can watch all the morning programs, 3 hours of morning programs every NIRA race day. So we make it accessible as we can. We also put the show, replays of the shows up on Twitter and things like that. So it's not hard to find us if you're in the Capital Region, no doubt about it. So again, just good luck to Dave O'Rourke and his team and NIRA. They're going to put on a great show, I'm sure. And looking forward to a great meet for Capital OTB, for NIRA, and for the whole Capital Region.
And as you say, we will promo the promotions and events here on the network via commercials, and I'll mention them very often. Twitter will put them up, but you can also go to the website and click on the promotions link. There's a nice calendar for July, and we have it, really there's something every day throughout the race book, and we have online contests, and there'll be some free money opportunities for people, so it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think we do more than anybody else in the state as far as promotions. And we also do, you know, with the play of the day, we have 50 pages. If you haven't logged in yet, I think online, you can get into our, we have 50 accounts getting into the play of the day. And at the end of the meet, they're all going to share in the winnings. And I think Kevin and Steve had a great year 2 years ago.
I think
he had a good year last year. But Kevin and Steve usually do very well. And, you know, there's some money at the end of the meet that you can split up and then, you know, bet on Belmont.
Yeah,
right?
It's
always... Or bet the last week at Del Mar, right?
Yeah,
there's one more week past the Saratoga meet.
And then I've got, on Sundays, I have the show pool, which...
That's right.
I knocked one out of the park a couple of years ago, but I say, it's not as easy as it looks. Last year, it was a little bit of treading water, but I'll try to make another little piece of magic happen.
Funny story about that. I remember talking to Mike Callahan. I'm like, geez, should we just stop at race 8? And I mean, we already had like $900 or something, and then you did it, and then you got a great prize. And I think it was like $2,300.
It was like a 10-to-1 shot. Yeah,
yeah.
It came out over $2,000.
So it's funny when you get into 8 races and you're suddenly like, geez, we've done pretty well. Do we want to blow it all in the last race? But we went for it and we hit it. So, yeah. And we've had a lot of successful promotions with the syndicate and other things. So
And there's some syndicates coming up this month as well. So, again, go to the website, click on the promotions.
We got a ton of stuff going on. I mean, just open, you know, I know people have multiple accounts, right, generally. Just open an account with Capital OTB. You can get in with some of our free, you know, we give away a lot of money. We give you a lot of free promotions. And then maybe you can look around. If you like us, you can wager with us too. So, just check us out.
Yeah. John, appreciate the visit. As always, as I say, tradition here on day one. And again, on behalf of everybody I meet over on the front side, thanks to you. And again, thanks to the board of directors for supporting the programming back here, because I know it is greatly appreciated. But again, thanks for the visit. Have a fun Saratoga. Let's all have a fun Saratoga.
I'll see you last weekend of the meet.
Very good. All right, we'll wrap it up now. Day one here at Saratoga. We're underway. It's been fun. Hopefully we gave out some good information. Weather is gorgeous right now. Sunny, warm. We'll see how it plays out the rest of the day. But we'll be back tomorrow, 9 a.m. Handicapper Support, 10 a.m. Racing Across America. Again, underway. Good luck this afternoon and beyond, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You've been watching Racing Across America. Racing Across America has been brought to you by... Racing Across America is brought to you by... Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group, Leah Cars for life. Find them on the web at leahcars.com. The new Capital OTB wagering platform. Bet any place, anytime with the new Capital OTB wagering platform. CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier wagering site in New York State. And the Clubhouse Racebook. Can't make it to the track? Make it to the Clubhouse Racebook. 711 Central Avenue, Albany.